In the news update for June the 16th, 2022, on this Thursday early morning edition, part 4, continuing on with the War Room with Owen Schroeder being the host today, and we're broadcasting on XM Radio across FM radio stations across the country, and we're on over 30 different podcast venues where you can find us on places like Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Pocket FM, Pocket Cast, and many, many more. And you can find us on anchor.com too. If you'd like to help us in our fight and help us to stay on the air and to continue to hear our live streams and on the radio and on the XM and hear our new 100 Church of Christ online ministries content, then please make a donation today by simply calling 252-833-9067. We don't need no WhatsApp calls or Google Voice calls. We need real in United States, U.S. callers, okay? We are pre-screening calls because we've had some people call that are from outside the country. Another thing, we get some people calling asking us for money. We can't give money to people when we need money ourselves. That doesn't seem to add up to some of these people, though, but they just do it anyway. And it doesn't make sense to me because they're not even legit. Like, we've been around since 2012. And, of course, these other places I could sell you a bridge to go nowhere because you can't find much about them when you do research on them. You can find us all over the Internet. And, of course, you can find us on XM Radio and on FM and at your local favorite podcast and venue where you subscribe or pay for your content for free or watch it behind a paywall. And, of course, we're on... If you don't know what our podcast name is, it's Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. That's how you want to write it in there in your search bar. It'll come up in your favorite player, and you'll see it there, and you can follow us. And then every time there's an update, you'll get a notification showing that you got a new episode or several episodes waiting in the queue there for you to listen to. Since these are audio files, enjoy. Use it how you wish. Share it. We encourage that. And also donate. Contribute financially. If you like what we're doing, show your patronage. You know, have a set of kahunas. Have a spine, in other words, and give to the last bastion of freedom in this country, the Freedom Network. And that's what we are, folks. And of course, I got to compete with this crazy horny cat in the background. But anyway, you know, but that's what we do. We are Christian Station, and we are. You know, we are out here to fight the fight, and we're out here to spread information to change hearts and minds and to save people's lives against the COVID vaccine death shot that's rolled out. The second booster or fourth shot has gone out, however you want to look at that. The weird stuff that's growing in dead cadaver bodies of the vaccinated. It looks like reptilian in nature and has like fiber wires there. And many, many more stuff that's being proved by real pathologists and doctors that have degrees and are real doctors. Even more, even embalmers at funeral homes and coroners have come forward off record. Even one has stepped up to the plate and has shared his findings in these dead cadavers or bodies that he's, not cadavers, but real dead people that he's embalmed and sees all this weird stuff coming out of them. So there's a big problem going on. They're covering it up. And that's why we're here to expose it all for you, uncensored, on all these mediums. And we made a deal with God, not the devil. We made a deal not with the God of this world, but we made a deal with the God of the Most High, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're on the air. And your support makes it all possible. So please, reach in your pocket. Get that credit card out, your debit card out. Give generously. If you've been blessed to help out in this cause and effort, then please make it so that we can keep doing this wonderful labor of love, but it still costs. It does come with a price by making that call, 252-833-9067. So more of this wonderful information can come to you. Let's get back to the War Room with Owen Schroeder. And I'm Mike DeSilva, yours truly in the house, DJing in the Southern country. Here we go, back to the show.
The threat for the American people, because the threat is that every year under the Adoption and Safe Families Act and Title IV funding, the states have to be taking more kids every year in order to receive an annual bonus.
And so in other words, there's like a minimum they have.
That's an incentive.
Correct.
Which is, of course, always dangerous because let's say you have a minimum of, let's say there's 100 people in the room and you have a minimum of, you have to catch 10 of them doing something wrong. But if zero of the 100 do anything wrong, well, then they're going to go after 10 innocent people.
Correct.
That's right. And, you know, if you had let's just say 5 children that will age out, well, they've got to go back in and get proportionally more children. So then we have to get at least 6. And so, you know, as you either have kids who get adopted out, or, you know, or put in permanent placement or would age out, and they got to go back and they got to get proportionally more kids.
So they have to find other kids to kidnap. So this is unbelievable. And I know, you know, Terry, you've been silent over there, and that's fine. I can't imagine having to relive this. But so it's 6 years past since this has happened. I'm sure there's not a day that goes by you don't ask yourself a million questions. But where have you landed, if you have landed on this yet? Where have you landed? I mean, what do you think really happened to your kids? Because none of this makes any sense.
So we continue to fight for the return of our children. Our 3 older children are now out of the, they're 18 or older, and we've been trying to reconnect with them, which is a difficult process, partly because of the trauma that ensued on them being ripped away from all they knew, you know, from their from us. And so we continue to work on one of the missions of Let Our Children Go is to help families that this has happened to. And Owen, it is happening to hundreds of thousands of people in our country.
Well, of course it is. They have it written down that way. They have mandatory minimums. So of course they're going to find kids to kidnap.
Yeah, I was looking at the government website earlier today of the reported number of children in foster care in a given year, and it was over 400,000. So if you have that going on year after year, there's a lot of families out there that are being affected. There's a lot of children that age out of foster care. There's a lot of children that are adopted. And so one of our missions with Let Our Children Go is not only what we're trying to do with our own family and restoring our family, and we have faith that our family will be restored, but it is a very difficult process. And so with our organization, letourchildrengo.org, we want to be able to offer support for other families that this is happening to, and the, you know, not only the parents, but the children that go through this system, and then they come out the other end after their parents' parental rights were terminated, and you know, they may not have any family after they get kicked out of the foster care system. So it's a huge problem in our society and the outcomes of it. And this issue with what's happening with the child welfare system intersects with so many other things that are going on in our country right now with the shots and with the gender insanity.
With Owen Schroyer.
I want to give Mark and Terry a minute here to just make final statements, and we will get to the rest of the news. Again, the website, letourchildrengo.com. Final comments here, Mark and Terry, before we let you go.
Yeah, thanks so much, Owen. It's letourchildrengo.org. And if people can just come over there and contact us if they want to help join with us, because what we need is people to come together. I know that Alex used to cover this issue a long time ago, and the parents are ready to come together to solve this problem. And so part of what we want our organization to be is to help facilitate that in bringing people together. So if people can come on over to our website at letourchildrengo.org, we have a contact button there that people can reach out to us, and they can also find us on social media. Just type in Let Our Children Go. And we really just want to be able to bring people together so that we can help educate and reclaim our rights and help the all of the families that are being affected by this system. So we just encourage people to reach out to us so that we can work together for a solution.
Well, this is a true horror story. I can't imagine how painful it is to have to relive this and tell it again, but we appreciate your effort. And letourchildrengo.org. We hope that you can stop future kids from getting kidnapped by the government here in America. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Owen.
All right, there go Mark and Terry Stemmen. Again, the website, letourchildrengo.org. www.thefreedomfighters.org. All right, that's pretty heavy stuff there.
Yep.
And if you're like me, there's probably a million things going through your head as you're listening to that. You know, part of me just doesn't even want to go there, folks, because, you know, that family's already been through it, and we just heard from them, so it's almost like, why even go there? But tell you what, can you imagine? I mean, it's just like, just one day, you're living your life, everything's normal, go for a routine doctor visit, and your entire world is overturned. I just can't even imagine. And it's the government kidnapping your kids. And, I, you know, there's three things that come to my mind. And I don't even necessarily want to associate with the last story because they've told their story. But when you hear stories like this, there's three things that come to my mind. And it's the same problems that continue to haunt us in this country. And it's either you have an example of what they believe they've landed on, the problem is just bureaucracies, just a bureaucratic nightmare where they say we have to have this many kids in foster care. And so they'll go out there and kidnap kids till they reach that number. Who knows who and how they decide which kids they're going to kidnap, but that's what they do. Or you have child sex trafficking rings that are set up in these government agencies, which that's also been caught in the past as well. So we know that goes on. I'm not saying that's the case with these guys. That's what I'm saying. I'm not equating any of this to their story. They've got their story. They've told it. But you know, there's that aspect of it and that abuse of it. And then, I'm sorry, but this is just true, folks. Then there's the liberal aspect of it. You don't think for one second some liberal doctor wouldn't take kids from a family for whatever reason goes through their whacked out psychotic heads? Liberalism is a serious mental disorder, folks. I don't say that lightly. These people are dangerous. I talk about it all the time. You don't think liberal doctors are the ones pumping these prescription pills into little boys' heads, killing their brains, turning them into basket cases and anxiety freaks, drug addicted by the time they're 13? You don't think liberal doctors that want to control men, thinking men are the problem in society? You don't think there's an aspect of that? Give me a break. You know there is. So yeah, there's three things they believe in their case. It's the bureaucratic nightmare, big government. But then there's the child sex trafficking that we know goes on. And then there's just liberals, man. You don't think a liberal doctor that might hate white families or hate big families would love to see one broken up as a little feather in their cap? Of course they would. These are psychotic people we're talking about. I don't say that lightly. These people are dangerous. This is the kind of crap a liberal would do to you. But I need to move on from that as hard as it is. I mean, that's just... And you know it happens all the time, sadly. Wow. All right. How do you recover from that? Let me just try to buffer it here, because you hear how thankful they are to come on the transmission today, because most people probably don't want to touch their story. Most people probably don't want to touch that story, go anywhere near stories like that. And I understand why, for different reasons. But we will, just like all the other stories we'll touch, and just like all the other moves we'll make that make us next year's news today, because we have the gumption. Yes, we've been vindicated. We have the foresight. And that's why InfoWars is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think Alex Jones and InfoWars is the number one target of the globalist in the media because we're ineffective? No, it's because we're the most effective. So that's why it's important to support InfoWars and keep us on the air. And we make it easy on you. We've got huge sales right master Mark Burns on with Stu Peters. Just telling it like it is for 60 seconds. We'll let it go to break here.
The LGBT transgender grooming our children's minds is a national security threat because it is ultimately designed to destabilize the republic we call the United States of America. That's why when I'm elected, I don't want to just vote. I want to start holding people accountable for treason to the Constitution. I am going to push to reenact HUAC. HUAC is the House of Un-American Activities Committee. It was a real committee that was formulated back in the 50s, and is a committee that we should reenact that starts holding these people accountable for treason. We need to hold people for treason, start having some public hearings, and start executing people who are found guilty for their treasonous acts against the Constitution of the United States of America, just like they did back in 1776.
Wait, do you guys hear that?
Sounds good.
Do you guys hear that? That's like Democrats that. Shitting their britches.
Oh, yeah.
That's Democrats shaking in their tiny little shoes after that statement. Yeah, are they afraid of Pastor Mark Burns? Let me tell you. Don't be surprised if mainstream media starts attacking Mark Burns real soon, because that is real stuff right there.
Ladies and gentlemen,
remember this one? Bringing it back. Stuff right there. So is freedom. So is America. So are Trump's policies.
And I approve this message.
Now, I play that with purpose today. Not because I just like the song. The song is amazing. Not gonna lie. It's gonna be stuck in my head the rest of the night. I'm not even mad. You're welcome. But no, there were big victories for Republicans, specifically one last night. And so let me just explain what's happening, though. Democrats are really angry. Democrats believe that they own black people. Democrats believe that they own Hispanic people. And so when Democrats see that Americans that are black or Hispanic aren't voting for Democrats, well, they get seething angry. They don't like seeing slaves leave the plantation. So just like Democrats were mad when Republican Abraham Lincoln took their slaves, Democrats are mad that they're not voting Democrat anymore. Remember, Biden says, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. That's everything right there. He just told you the entire mindset of the racist, bigoted, elitist liberal that needs subjects. They need subjects to subjugate. That's the entire crutch of the liberal Democrat paradigm, is they need someone to boss around and control. Otherwise, they really have no policies at all. So last night, Republican Myra Flores wins big in Texas's 34th congressional district in a special election, defeats challenger by 7% in seat won by Democrats by 13% in 2020. And Myra Flores is the real deal. She's ran a great campaign. And this is a seat that in 2016 was plus 25 for Democrats, in 2018 was plus 20 for Democrats, in 2020 was plus 14 for Democrats, and now in 2022 is plus 5 for Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, if this trend continues, the Democrat Party is electorally dead. Dead. Now, unfortunately, because of all the shenanigans and crimes that took place in the 2020 election, this paradigm may have already played out in the 2020 election, but because of all the shenanigans and crimes by the Democrats, we don't know. We didn't have a real election. We had a stolen election, a selection. So if that trend is applied nationwide, forget about it. And this is why Democrats are really panicked right now. They still have like a 50-50 of the black vote, but it's waning. But they're losing the Hispanic vote in this country. Like, it is a geyser, folks. It is a geyser. And here's the thing about the Hispanic community. They're actually getting active, and they're very well organized in this, and they're having major victories, especially here in Texas. And so the Democrats don't know what to do about it. I mean, you see them going on TV saying, I don't understand why any Hispanic, why any black person would ever vote Republican. Well, yeah, we know you don't understand. That's the point. You're racist bigots. You don't understand anything other than your own bigotry, which you don't even understand that, actually. But let me just tell you, folks, this has Democrats seething mad, but more importantly, extremely worried that their political power is not just waning, but deteriorating, slipping right out of their hands like water or sand. And so that's a big victory for Flores, flipping a Democrat seat. If this trend continues, it's over. And if the majority of Hispanics and the majority of black Americans start voting Republican, the Democrat Party is done. done, folks. Done, and they know it. So expect there to be major panics from the liberal media soon and the Democrats soon, how they can bring their slaves back to the plantation. Guess what? They're not coming back. They want to be free. They want to be prosperous. They want to live in America. They don't want to deal with your scumbag asses anymore. Like this guy. Democrat New Mexico senator intimidating county officials with lawsuits if they don't certify illegitimate election results. Corrupt Secretary of State files lawsuit. Story is at the Gateway Pundit. Election efforts in New Mexico are over the target as Democrat Daniel Ivy Soto, Dominion's favorite legislator in the state, is targeting and threatening local officials if they do not certify the election results. Yeah, don't look here. Don't ask questions here. And if you do, we'll sue you. Oh, they're all about election integrity. And then you say, hey, do you mind if we examine the elections just for integrity? Don't you dare. I'll sue your ass. Trump president endorses Arizona Attorney General candidate Abe Hameda, who will crack down on election crimes and the invasion of Arizona's southern border. The reinforcements are arriving, folks. The reinforcements are here. The Democrats stole the 2020 election, and that has sent more American patriots to get active than anything else. And everything else, quite frankly. The reinforcements are coming. Trump endorsed Russell Fry, defeats impeachment Republican Tom Rice. Tom Rice, one of the rhinos that was trying to impeach Trump, he gone. The reinforcements are arriving, folks, I'm telling you. That's the good news. Of course, the bad news is the Democrats will always have a response, and the response is usually to try to destroy you with lies and intimidation and terrorism. That's the Democrats. The potato roll empire bankrolling a Christian nationalist. Oh, there's our buzzword, Christian nationalist. And so Doug Mastriano is running for office, and he's doing a good job. And the liberals found out that there is a potato roll company named Martin's that's really famous, Martin's Famous Pastry Shop. And they've been bankrolling his campaign. And so now the libs are targeting a potato roll company. And don't be surprised if they engage in some domestic terrorism there as well. After all, we're talking about Democrats, the largest domestic terror group in the country. But people are waking up. They understand the true enemies domestic are the Democrats. They understand most of this country's problems are caused by Democrats and or big government. But Democrats are pro-big government. So now what do? They find a candidate, a Republican candidate that's doing well in a seat that they want. They find out who the donors are, and then they intimidate and threaten them. And this is a well-practiced playbook that the Democrats engage in. They really mastered and honed this craft under President Donald Trump, and now they're going after all these other conservative Republicans that aren't establishment. With their domestic terror group known as the Democrat Party. Counter-canceled summit in Las Vegas to address censorship next week. To me, this is another example. Dr. Peter McCullough and other people are going to be speaking there. This is another sense. This is another example to me. The reinforcements are coming. There's all kinds of groups, all kinds of startups, all kinds of activism, all kinds of events, the Reawaken America Tour, so much more. Conservatives are actually taking action. And it's not just the dog and pony show of the window dressing CPAC every year. That's just ceremonious. Pat each other on the back. Look at me, glamorousness. Nothing ever comes out of that, sadly. This is real stuff. These are real grassroots people organizing, getting active, having events, coming together, running for office. This is how we can save the country. Of course, having fair elections is kind of the bedrock here. But if you can get that, we're doing the right things to save this country right now. Here's another one. And this is why they hate Marjorie Taylor Greene so much. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm introducing a bill to make it illegal for children to be exposed to drag queen performances. This is how it's done. It started with a Republican here in Texas. Now others are picking up on it. This is how it's done. That's right good. Here. Make Democrats, make liberals publicly defend their child abuse. Yep. Make them publicly defend drag queen story time. Make them publicly defend all the images and videos and perversions and deviance that are on full display at these events. Make them defend them to the public, because guess what? Why are they censoring libs of TikTok? Because they don't want people to know what they're doing, folks. They don't want people to know they're bringing in perverts to groom your kids. They don't want people to know that. So sign bills, sign laws that make it illegal, make them publicly defend it. Make them bring this to the public, and let's see how that goes for them. Let's show the world who the Democrats really are. Time Magazine reporting on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Tell me this isn't funny. At campaign stops, the 48-year-old mother of three and former construction executive is mobbed by fans sporting Let's Go Brandon t-shirts, InfoWars paraphernalia, and Impeach Biden stickers. At a diner in Rockmart, a small town near the Alabama border, a man with a cane and a big white beard shows up wearing a gray shirt with a picture of Green shouldering an assault rifle and the words, "The Green New Deal." She laughs and gives him a hug. Constituents tell her they're worried the next election might be stolen, as they believe the last one was. They ask why the military can't be deployed to expel illegal aliens. They want to know why Democrats don't seem to believe in God. So, in other words, normal human activity, and Time Magazine is reporting on it like it's alien or something. Because you freaks are alien. You're the freaks. Not us. You.
War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at band.video.
So this was seen in the streets of Qatar. It's the umbrella blocking the rainbow from the children meme that has been popularized here recently in America during the Pride Month festivities that are targeting children. And it says Sharia on the umbrella. Now, here's what's funny about this to me. The left, liberals, are the ones that are constantly virtue signaling for Muslims, Islam, and all this stuff. When are they going to find out that in Muslim countries, in the Islamic faith, homosexuality is punishable by death? Ooh, are the liberals going to figure that one out real quick? You can't virtue signal for everything. It's a contradictory issue for the left, but they haven't figured it out. And the truth is, it's all fake virtue signaling anyway. So that's why it's not congruent, because it's all fake. They feign virtue for Muslims. They feign virtue for everything else. It's all fake. But it is going to be interesting, because FIFA and Qatar are Qatar basically bought the rights to host the World Cup. They paid top dollar to do it. And FIFA's wanting to do all this gay pride stuff, and Qatar saying, no, we're not doing any of that stuff. Now, usually the World Cup is actually in the summer months. It's going to be in November this year. So it'll maybe all be passed by then. But, like, Qatar is saying, if we see anything, if we see gay couples, if we see gay flags, we're immediately removing them from the country. So that'll be an interesting see. It'll be interesting to see how the liberals deal with that. Really looking forward to that one. This is quite something. So let me try to explain what's going on here. On the internet, on social media, and mostly Twitter, there is kind of this grassroots, call it underground, movement that's happening of individuals and groups of individuals. I've featured some of them on the air that are really into, it's kind of like a counterculture thing, but it's like natural organic health tips, natural organic life tips, you know, kind of just combining everything with working out and physical fitness and the world and appreciation for nature and healthy food habits and eating habits. And so anytime this stuff props up, it gets attacked by the liberal establishment as what? White supremacy. Remember, we covered the stories, they say, being physically fit is white supremacy. Wanting to work out is white supremacy. They say this stuff. And it's all just internet groups that are just promoting healthy life habits in all these different sectors and walks of life. And they're becoming very popular. So for some reason, the liberal establishment wants to turn you away from living a healthier, happier life. And so, yeah, here it is. Fascist fitness. How the far right is recruiting with online gym groups. So no, all it is, it's not far right, it's not anything, it's not even political. It just so happens these are smart people, so they're not liberals, because smart people aren't liberals. But so they take all these different groups and counterculture kind of, it's not even really a trend, it's a real movement, and they say, oh, it's white supremacy. So here's the latest. This is from Vice today. White nationalists want to reclaim nature as a safe space for racists. They say working out is racist, riding a bike is racist, going to a park is racist, eating healthy is racist. I mean, literally, just what? And again, it has nothing to do with politics. And I follow a lot of this stuff because it's good advice. A lot of it's good advice. That's why I have some of the guests on air. So it's just organic living, healthy living, how to eat good, how to live happily, how to exercise right, different routines, how to kind of add it all together for total happiness and all this stuff. And it's all these different groups and they sometimes combine. And the liberals realize that they're not in on it because they hate life and they hate prosperity and they're all, you know, sad, ugly, desolate people. And so they see all these organic movements happening and it just angers them. It angers them that they're not in control of them. It angers them that they're making people happier and healthy. So what do? They take them and they just say, it's racist. So now wanting to live a better life and wanting everybody around you to live a better life is racist, according to liberals. You guys have really lost your minds.
Hour 3 starts of the Owen of the War Room right now.
Well, it's always good to be joined by Micah Cargill, and he works right down the street here in Austin. So he comes in studio with us. And Michael, the other day you reached out to me. I'm unaware of this, so you're going to scoop me today. It's always great when I can get scooped. The local Democrat government here, run by Adler, who may be the worst mayor in American history, certainly Austin's history. And they are doing gun grabbing events right now. And apparently they're trying to make AR-15s illegal. Now, Michael, you got to scoop me on this. So you have a gun store. You've been in that practice for a long time. You're also doing firearms training. Your training course is very popular at Central Texas Gunworks. By the way, I've been there. It's a great facility. Also, you got a little Bitcoin station there that does pretty well, I understand. But nonetheless, so what are the Democrats doing here in Austin right now to infringe on our Second Amendment rights?
And so what they're trying to do is they're actually banning AR-15s in the Austin city limits here, as if they actually have the authority to do that. And I've talked to several media outlets like New York Times, Fox News, and we've kind of broken this down for them a little bit. All right. So in Texas, the way it works is the legislature are the only ones that actually can regulate the use of firearms. So a local government cannot do that. So by them doing this, only thing they're going to do is they're going to spur like a lot of gun sales. You know, you're going to have 18, 19, 20 years old that are going into the gun store and they're going to purchase. And then you're going to have those people that think that they have the authority to do this. And they're going to think, oh my goodness, they're going to ban, you know, AR-15s, you know, in the city. They're going to, you know, and everyone's going to run into the gun store to buy them. You know, they're doing this on the national level. On the national level, they're actually trying to, you know, raise the age limit to 21. They're doing something where 18 to 21 on the national level for the National Instant Criminal Background Check System to delay that transaction. So basically, you walk into a gun store and you fill out the firearms transaction record. If you're 18 to 21, then you're going to get delayed. They're going to look in your juvenile record and go through that and delay that transaction like maybe 30 days or something like that.
And who goes through that? Who goes through those records?
So we're talking like the FBI.
Yeah. So just government bureaucracies.
That is correct. All right. And that's going to be on the national level. Now down in Austin, you know, on the city level here, they're actually trying to ban ARs altogether. You know, you're just trying to say, hey, we want to get rid of ARs. But unfortunately, the city can't do that. You know, only the state can do that. And we're not going to allow the state to do that. You can't ban an Armalite rifle. You can't ban what I nickname America's rifle. Yeah, that's what AR-15 is.
Yeah, I like that. I remember when you did that. We should actually roll with that. But here's my question, because I'm not the biggest gun enthusiast. I'm a big Second Amendment advocate for obvious reasons. But what is it about the AR-15 that A, separates it from else so that it's in its own class?
Right.
And why is it that the Democrats are targeting that one so heavily?
One, that's the M4, you know, there's a military version of the AR-15. There's the AR-15 with a civilian version. There's also a military version. And that's what our military uses, automatic. It's a 3-round burst. It comes in, you know, different variations. Well, On the civilian side, we have what we call the AR-15. And for that one there, a lot of people, you know, that were in the military, you know, a lot of Americans love the AR. And I, like I said, I nicknamed that the America's rifle. That's what it is to me. I love an AR. I'm not an AK person. You know, I get into this AK-AR debate. I like AR-15s.
You don't like the Ruski weapons?
No, I don't like that's the weapon of our enemy. So I'm American. I like I'm American. I like the American rifle, the Armalite rifle.
Plus, I mean, you know, for me, the draw is, it's, you know, a shotgun is great, but it's not going to be able to fire many rounds.
That's right.
It's going to be less effective at long distance.
Right.
With the AR, I mean, that's like the ultimate empowerment. It's just one man, one woman, one AR. That's the ultimate neutralizer. It might not be the best gun to have in certain situations, but overall, it's the top neutralizer.
Yeah, you have different type of platforms. You have your rifle version of it. You have also your pistol version of it. So for my home defense, I have a rifle, 30-round magazine. I have a 150-round drum. I also have a pistol version of the AR as well that I love to use that to go around corners, you know, things like that inside the home, because I love an AR to defend myself, you know, from my house.
So getting back into what they're doing here locally, though, what is the methodology? I mean, who's writing the bills? Who's passing the bills? I mean, I know Adler will be an advocate of it, but where does it originate? How are they going to try to do this?
So this is coming from the mayor himself and also several city council members. And they're going to spend money, taxpayers', our dollars, to try to ban AR-15s. They're going to get the city manager to research this, to try to figure out how to go about doing it. And it's not going to be something they can do. They're just going to basically waste our money trying to do this. And you know,
it's a futile effort out from the gates.
It really is. It really is. I don't think they're going to be successful whatsoever. I've beat them in court already. I've taken the city of Austin to district court. They right now we're on appeal for like $5 million to try to beat them in court for trying to ban just license holders from being able to carry, gun owners to be able to carry into their building. So now I'm planning on going there tomorrow to testify before the city council, and I'm planning on carrying it. I'm going to try to bring my AR as well. So we'll see if they try to stop me. So we'll see what happens with that. If they try to stop me, then I'm going to take them to court again.
What time is this happening?
It's
tomorrow.
Fortunately, it's all day. You know,
so, okay.
And I got a lot of things I have to do. I have to go there. I also have to be down in Houston for the big, huge GOP convention as well.
Well, send me an update on whatever happens tomorrow, because I'll be live on air, and I'd like to report on, hopefully, you have a victory there. But, so what do you expect? Let's say, I mean, they should let you in, even with your gun. They're supposed to let you in.
Got to let me in with my handgun altogether.
And so you're planning on making your case about why legally they can't do this.
Right.
What do you think the response is going to be? Because what I've noticed is Democrats are really becoming obstinate in that they don't care about the Constitution. They don't even care about people voting. They just feel like they're going to do whatever they want and screw the rest.
You know, my thing is, you can't legislate crazy. Whenever something happens, there's some type of shooting, they have this knee-jerk reaction to try to legislate crazy. You can't, you know, you can't create laws that's going to stop evil. What we do is we kill evil is what we do. This is all about the shooting that took place down in Uvalde, the elementary school. You know, someone that kills elementary school kids, you know, that's just evil. And you kill it is what you do.
And by the way, all the stuff that they're proposing right now isn't going to stop the next school shooter. It's not.
No.
There's only one thing that will. And I've said this, and you may agree. I don't want to live in a situation where we have to send our kids to school with armed guards, because that's the state of the country that we're in. But guess what? That's the state of the country that we're in.
That's right.
And there's only one thing that's going to stop a shooter. And by the way, it just happened, Michael. The media didn't report on it, but it just happened. I'm sure you heard about this. Police shoot and kill gunmen at Texas summer camp who fired into locked classroom with kids inside. Summer camp, bunch of kids there.
That's right.
Gunman comes to try to do a mass murder. Policeman is there on the scene because there's a bunch of kids there at this big facility. Guy tries to murder kids. Pop! He puts him down. Good guy with a gun saves the day again.
That's right. And it goes on and on. There's another case where a young lady, a female, a guy goes in with an AR into a facility, and a female pulls out her concealed handgun.
With a pistol.
That's right. And stops him. You know, he had an AR.
He was trying to do that was at a graduation.
That's right. Good girl with a gun stops the bad guy.
Why is it? I mean, Michael, this is basic logic. Why don't liberals have it?
I have no idea. You know,
isn't it so frustrating? I mean, it's madness.
It just makes no sense whatsoever, you know. That's why I always carry multiple guns. I carry, and I try to carry like three guns at a time They tell me if I can't carry, I'm going to carry anyway. So,
Michael, he's like the kind of guy, it's like if he gets pulled over for a spot check,
that's right.
He's like pulling one out of his sock, he's pulling one out of his hip, he's got one behind his neck, he's got another one in his pocket. Oh, he forgot about his backpack rifle. I mean,
right. Ask me, how many guns you have? Well, you know, I got two on my left, I'm sitting on top of two, I got three on my right. I got four underneath the seat, I got five in the back seat, I got 12 in the trunk. You need to borrow one? You coming up short? This is Texas, everyone's got guns.
And I'm curious, because you mentioned something to this earlier. You've been, how long have you run Texas Gunworks now?
It's been like 12 years almost.
I would imagine that there's a trend that happens after the mass shootings, and whether or not people start calling for gun confiscation or not, my guess is gun sales go up every time.
Right. As soon as there's a shooting, you know, you have people running into the gun store to try to purchase. And anytime the government, the president talks about he's going to restrict something, ban something, you know, we're going to look at, you know, magazine capacity. We're going to look at the age limit of whatever it is. Whenever they say that, it just drives people to the gun store. And what the city of Austin is doing is the exact same thing. By them saying they're going to ban AR-15s, they're going to run to the gun store.
That's Michael Cargill, Central Texas Gunworks. We'll be right back. Michael Cargill in studio, Central Texas Gunworks. Great place, by the way. Great place to purchase a firearm or get training. And Michael, I'm curious, and I've got some other legal questions for you, but the gun sales go up whenever there's a shooting. The gun sales go up whenever politicians start clamoring about taking firearms. What about gun training? Is there a trend there that follows?
Yes, typically, what happened in 2020 when the country shut down, you had people walk into the gun store, wanted to buy, and they also wanted to take classes. They wanted to get their license to carry a handgun. They wanted to learn what the laws were. They want to know what use of force and deadly force was. They want to know when they can legally shoot someone, when they can legally threaten someone with a gun. So, yeah, it was very, it always happens anytime there's a shooting or anytime something major happens.
And that's just common sense. And look, you're somebody, you're a capitalist, rightfully so. You probably see government, you know, government agents saying, let's take the guns. And you're like, all right, time to girt for business to go through the roof here.
I almost want to go there tomorrow to City Hall and say, you know what, I was going to tell you that, you know, you shouldn't do this, but instead what I think I'm going to tell you is I want to thank you. I truly from the bottom.
Show them your record books of, yeah, every time they try to take the guns.
From all the gun stores in the area, we truly want to thank you. And as a matter of fact, you're going to be responsible for, you know, me going to Florida to retire.
Sooner than you expected. Don't leave us yet. But so let's look at some of these laws. So the red flag laws this is a big one to me. And by the way, this is a story from the Poynter Institute, big, big leftist think tank, well-funded thing that they have there. As the Senate considers funding red flag laws, tips for journalists about the laws, tips for journalists, folks, they're telling you how to cover it here. That's what this is. They're telling you how to cover it. And they're saying, oh, don't demonize this. Don't do that. This is how to properly cover it. Don't say shall not be infringed. Don't say this. Don't say that. So liberals always telling you what to do. No, it says shall not be infringed. I can still read. But the red flag laws, I mean, this to me is so obviously a bad idea. I mean, we can give the obvious examples of this being politically motivated or personally motivated. Let's say it's an ex-husband, ex-wife. Doesn't like the former spouse, files a complaint, boom, this person has a red flag law. Let's say it's someone that doesn't like your politics, files a complaint, boom, now you're on the red flag laws. I mean, this one is so obvious as to why we shouldn't do it. Why is there such a push to have red flag laws when we already have background checks that don't work?
And honestly, we already have red flag laws that are already on the books right now. For most states, there's already some type of red flag law. And it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to tighten that up anymore, add anything more to it, because unless someone is actually, you know, like you take Uvalde, unless, you know, his parents, his mother, his father said something, you know, or his grandmother said something, you know, done something before he purchased a firearm or something like that, then nothing would, you know, we're not going to know in the gun store. So unless the parents, the family members, you know, do something, we're not going to know. How am I supposed to know that this guy has some type of problem that he wants to kill a bunch of people? You know, unless someone that's close to him gets involved. So, you know, creating a new law is not going to change that. You know, Uvalde, you go back and you say, okay, well, what they're doing on the national level, they're saying, hey, we want to go back and look into their their childhood and look into when they were a teenager and look into those records. Well, this guy didn't do anything. He had a perfect record. So what are you trying to fix? You know, if you go back and when we go back and look into his record, it's outstanding. It's perfect. He still would have passed the background. You know, still would have purchased a gun. Nothing would have changed. You could not have prevented that shooting in Uvalde at all.
Well, and that to me is kind of the case in point here, is that all of the proposed laws and legislation that they want to have in a reactionary period to what happened in Uvalde, none of it addresses the problem. It's just like, oh, we've got to do something. So let's do something, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it violates the Constitution, we got to do something. That is so idiotic to just say, oh, let's do something. Let's spin in circles and play wiffle ball. Like, I mean, all the things they're proposing, none of it addresses what happened in Uvalde.
Right. Here in Austin, we have the Austin bomber. You know, you had the mass shooting a year ago this past Sunday where gang members decided to just start firing rounds at each other.
Was that the one downtown?
In downtown Austin, where 14 people were injured and one person was killed. With a handgun. This guy was 19 years old, pulled out a gun, wasn't supposed to have the gun in the first place, and shot everyone else except for the people he was trying to shoot, 14 innocent people, and killed one person who was here on vacation, supposed to go get married and start a new life, just bought a new house, everything. And this guy dies on the street here in Austin, just trying to enjoy himself. And this guy, the shooter was 19 years old, was involved in a previous shooting the week before. The prosecutor did not prosecute this guy. And then he comes to Austin, commits another shooting where he ends up, once again, 14 people and kills one. And still, to this day, has not been prosecuted. You had about 14 other gang members pull out guns who are also teenagers who also have not been prosecuted at all.
So, and these are liberal Democrat district attorneys here, by the way.
That is correct. So you got your DAs. They're not doing their job. If the DAs are not going to enforce the laws or prosecute people right now for things they're doing, then why are you creating more and more laws? There are no more laws we can actually put on the books. Enough is enough. We need to stop this. We need to empower people to protect themselves.
And the one law that supersedes all of it is the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. But it's amazing how the problems are the people. It's psychotic people that get a hold of guns, not the guns. But, you know, I think the answer here is not gun control. It's Democrat control. We don't need less guns. We need less Democrats. And even though these laws, they say that has a very slim chance of passing in the Senate, Mitch McConnell has hinted that he'll vote for these new gun control laws passed, written by the Democrats, that won't address the school shooting at all. But, hey, we got to do something, right? Even if we're punishing innocent Americans for something they didn't do. Do you think that this holds up? Do you think Mitch McConnell stabs us in the back once again?
Oh, absolutely. I'm taking a look at Senator John Cornyn. I want to see what he's doing, you know, what's going on there, because this is Texas, a Lone Star State. You know, we're not going to put up with anyone that's not going to defend our Constitution, our Second Amendment right, because if you can hold on to the second, you can defend all your constitutional rights. And that is why, even still today, we have a lawsuit against the federal government, the ATF, the DOJ for bump stocks. It starts right there with the bump stock. If you can stop them from changing the rule for bump stocks, and you can control everything else, because they're trying to change the definition of what a machine gun is. They're trying to change the definition of what a SBR is. And if we can stop them at the gates right then and there, then we can control all of this. So that's why we're in the Fifth Circuit right now. We're suing the federal government. If we win the Fifth Circuit, we can go on to the Supreme Court, and then we will get this Supreme Court here. We'll definitely take a look at this case and actually change it.
Well, I'm thankful that we have Michael Cargill here in Texas defending our rights. And folks, get active like Michael Cargill. Speak at your city councils. Be on the lookout for the laws that your local city is trying to do, which are going to be illegitimate and illegal. Be on the lookout for that. Hold their feet to the fire. Go to city council. Let your representatives know that you're not going to have your Second Amendment infringed. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cargill, Central Texas Gun Works. If you are here in Central Texas, a great place to purchase a firearm and get your training with Michael Cargill. Mike, thanks for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck tomorrow. Give me an update on whatever happens. We'll be sure to break that news. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there goes Michael Cargill, CentralTexasGunWorks.com. I'll be back with more news.
That's
D'Souza's new film, 2000 Mules, is the most important documentary in modern times because it proves how the deep state stole the 2020 election and how they're planning to steal future elections and complete our journey to basically being like Venezuela. Now, it's great that it's online. It's great that millions watch it online. But you need to have the high-quality HD DVD in your library with the expanded extras so it can't be censored in the future and so you can show it to everyone you know. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 2,000 Mules today and get it discounted up to 30% off when you get it with other documentary films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, the seminal classic that predicted the Great Reset, and, of course, Part 1, Part 2, and now the new Part 3 of COVIDland. Get them separate or get them together, massively discounted, at InfoWarsStore.com. But everyone needs to have 2,000 Mules in their library so the globalists can't censor it. InfoWarsStore.com to get 2,000 Mules today.
Show.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take calls in the last segment. So if you're lucky enough to be one of the first on the board, or rather the one I choose, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Anything I've discussed today, whether it be on the Jones Show or the War Room, is fair game. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsStore.com. We've got the Super Summer Sale ongoing. Let's see here what is at a deep discount. Many of the top-rated, top-selling supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. And you share a joke. You make a joke, and that lands you in jail now in the UK. Sounds absolutely miserable to me. And I believe it was the one where people are like, oh, I can't believe this was just a year ago or 2 years ago, and it's Floyd, but it's the picture of the gas prices up above it, gas at $1.89, and the real tragedy being that gas is so expensive now, not the career criminal, drug addict George Floyd dying. And there were also, or it could have been the one, do you remember the activist recently that tried to step in front of Biden's motorcade, and she kind of got manhandled by police? There was another one going around. It was like, oh, police should have put the knee on this chick's neck for 10 minutes to show you that she wasn't going to die, to show you that it wasn't the knee on the neck that killed George Floyd. It was the drug overdose. And they could have put that knee on that lady's neck. She would have been just fine. So, but I don't know. Hey, you make a joke in a private text right now, you're landing in jail in the UK. Boy, oh boy, hope that never comes here. Film about conservative news figure Matt Drudge is underway. Folks, this is, was this part of the deal when CNN bought the Drudge Report? This is odd. Prospect Park, the production company founded by entertainment industry executive Jeff Quantinitz, told CNN that it has secured the rights to The Drudge Revolution, a biography on the conservative news mogul by journalist Matthew Lisiak. So, interesting. Matt Drudge, very private individual. Not too many people know about him, and now there's going to be a documentary on him. And CNN is promoting it? Okay. Christy Lee has been doing a great job filling in for me this week on the War Room with Alex out and the shakeup here on the depth chart. She'll be with you the rest of the week. She did a great interview with Robert Davi. Robert Davi exposes infiltration of the My Son Hunter movie set. So apparently the Bidens or the Feds or somebody is sending in spies to watch the activities going on, monitoring the activities on the set of My Son Hunter, I guess to report back to Biden or the media. I don't know. But they're obviously afraid of what's going to come out with that movie. Ah, yes, the liberal summer of rage continues. I'll just cover this again. I'll just hold this over till tomorrow. But let's just say the Democrat group Jane's Revenge is just openly pro-terror now. I mean, they're literally putting out pamphlets and flyers saying we're burning pregnancy centers to the ground. Anything from the FBI or the DOJ, I wouldn't hold my breath. FBI official refuses to answer Ted Cruz's questions over FBI involvement in January 6th events. And it's one of those he-she's there that they have. Is it a he? Is it a she? You know, it's all about confusing you. Won't answer about Ray Epps. Won't answer about FBI informants or embeds. Boy, that pretty much screams guilty, doesn't it?
Very much so.
January 6th panel divided on whether to issue criminal referral of Trump or not. Well, folks, you have to understand, the Democrats don't want there to actually be a criminal referral from Trump coming from them or this committee, because they know if that's the standard and that's the precedent they set for Donald Trump, then at least half of them are going to jail the next day. So this is really all just kind of color of law, political propaganda, made-for-TV propaganda. Try to make Trump's life a living hell. Try to make your life a living hell. But at the end of the day, they don't really want to move on Trump like that, because they know that they've said much more incites to violence, rather, than Donald Trump has ever done. I mean, he called for peace that day. So that's really what they're worried about. They're worried about their own rhetoric landing them in jail. Our nation is suffering. Our economy is in the gutter. What is the Democrat Congress focused on? A kangaroo court. President Trump delivers 12-page rebuttal to January 6th committee's latest lies, smears, and omissions. And, you know, I have a feeling that Trump might not have been this aggressive in the immediate aftermath of January 6th, but I think he would have been this aggressive in the days leading up to Biden's inauguration if he didn't have Sean Hannity whispering in his ear, just leave, pardon Hunter Biden, and get rid of all the crazies that try to advise you. That's the common man that voted for him, not Hannity, who was against him. And if it wasn't for the other Republicans like Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell saying, hey, let them steal the election, it's no big deal. But Trump understands that McConnell and Pence were never his allies now. That's pretty clear. Lawless D.C. mayor who turned down National Guard on January 6th adds 51st star to U.S. flags displayed on Pennsylvania Avenue in run-up to Flag Day. First of all, how is that even legal? Second of all, they're telling you their plan to conquer the country. They want to make D.C. a state. They'd love to make Puerto Rico a state. By the way, here's what's going on. I think Obama originally did this, and this is why you have Democrat activists in Puerto Rico. I think Obama made promises to leftist politicians in Puerto Rico, and Biden probably too, because we know about what he does in the Council on Foreign Relations, how he bribes people. I think the Obama administration has been bribing Puerto Rico that, hey, if we let you in as a state, you basically have, we're running you. We're basically going to run you. I think that that's been going on behind the scenes, by the way, because the Democrats would love to add Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. as 51st and 52nd states, so that kind of like packing the court. They just want to rig the system, overturn the chessboards. They're Democrats. They're cheaters. They're liars. They're crooks. They're criminals. They're bigots. They're terrorists. And we're still dealing with this for some reason. I don't know. Never forget, Antifa BLM leader who was filmed inside U.S. Capitol on January 6th broke a window and organized Antifa rally near Capitol that day. Only spent one night in jail. Yeah. One night in jail if you're a liberal Democrat. The rest of your life in jail if you're a Trump supporter. That's how it goes in D.C. That's how it goes in Democrat terrorist country that we're now all finding ourselves in. The summer of rage continues. All right, your calls on the other side.